Whether it's as a warden in the woods of New England or pirates on the Floridian coast, more adventure awaits you in the Backwards universe. This week, join me, Zach Walsh, and Asa of Backwards Tabletop as we explore the two most recent books in this continually growing line, Backwoods and Backwater. Take to the dense woods in the apocalyptic Backwoods or journey by sea in Backwater as you and your friends weave a tale of American Gothic horror. What beasts await and who will you meet are waiting for you right now on Schedule for Launch. Welcome to Schedule for Launch, a podcast to discover the projects that you may have missed this week. I'm really, really excited that I get to welcome back Asa of Backwards Games. Backwater Games. Holy crap, I knew I was going to do that too.
It's Backwards, you're right, the person. It's Backwards.
Oh no. Backwards Games. I'm so happy to have you back, Asa. I know we got a last minute scheduled this to make sure it happened because I think we were like, yeah, let's do this 2 days ago. Yeah. But this has been in the woodworks for months now.
Months, since May, I think, is when I originally chatted about it.
Because we were going to chat at the end, early June for a July release, and now we're late September doing this cover. Wow.
Yeah.
Asa, thank you so much for coming back on. Unfortunately, we can't have Alex with us as well, but the show must go on.
Yeah. He's off having fun, in other words, fiercely writing actual plays and performing in actual plays. His October for horror stuff is so booked out.
Yeah, I've heard. And we're going to talk about a little bit about Alex in just a second. But Alex, if you're listening, I hope you have fun playing horror games, and I will be watching some of them. But Asa, for the audience who haven't heard about you or the Backwards line of games, can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, so my name is Asa, and I'm one of two creators, along with Alex, for Backwards Tabletop. We have a series of games that are set in regional American settings in the style of American Gothic horror. We started off with our first game, which is Backwater, which is set in a post-apocalyptic deep south, primarily in New Orleans. And then our second book was Backroads, which moved over to a post-apocalyptic St. Louis in the ruins of what was left of St. Louis at the very least. And now we're moving on to two more games.
I think it's wild that you two decided that you're not just going to do one, you're going to do two. And I love it. I've loved looking at this stuff. But it also just shows how much love there is for the Backwards line of games, as well as the passion that you two have for it. Because from what I've seen, you're constantly just churning out stuff for it or talking about it. And it's amazing to see so much support for a small developed game.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been pretty excited about it. It's always just cool when we hear from other people who are playing our games and stuff. Again, obviously we're super small, but we actually had a friend of ours recently who went to law school with somebody that I know. And she was like, oh, by the way, are you the ones who wrote Backwater? Like, she knows me and Alex, and we're like, yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's like, oh, yeah, I was talking to my cousin the other day. He actually plays your game. And we're like, oh, my gosh, they do exist. Pretty rare, obviously, because we're so small, but it is cool to hear when it happens.
It's incredible, though. I've talked to a lot of people in my sphere of influence and people who play games are familiar with Backwater and Backroads, and it's something that a lot of people have a lot of love for. I think part of that is how easy it is to get into and how well established you can make a character for the world. super mm-hmm. easily without having to commit 4 hours to building your own character.
Yeah, the character creation part is something that's pretty important to us. And when we hear from people about what they like about our games, a lot of times, first and foremost, people love the setting. I think there's something about being able to imagine your own sort of neck of the woods. And it's not just for an American audience, of course, but many of the folks that we've talked with who play our games are from different regions of the U.S., and are really interested in either seeing what we've written about their regions or getting to play the game and invent it themselves and mm-hmm. figure out which cities even still exist in this really bizarre post-apocalyptic world. And then for character creation, that's sort of a passion of ours in this game. And, you know, it's what I would call character forward. Like,
yeah.
The character creation process for us is a lot of it is about having these steps that situate your characters or orient them within the backwards universe, and then pull in other bits and pieces that might affect how your characters make decisions, like their ideals. And a lot of, like, I actually just played a game and did an interview this last weekend where we're talking about it, and some of the people are playing were saying, they love how you sort of get immersed in the world as you're building your character, and then you're able to imagine new things and play up on the really bizarre themes in there too. So you end up mm-hmm. caring a lot about your character. So we love when we hear that. And I think the other thing is when you really love your character and you're put in tense situations, whether or not they're suspenseful or dangerous or survival horror sort of situations, it suddenly makes your decisions matter a lot more, and it is a fun element of those types of games.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about Yolanda games too is how fair they are. A lot of horror games will have that moment because it's possible to die in the backwards games,
mm-hmm.
but I've never felt cheated when I've seen it. I can think of a couple games where it's like one bad roll, you're done. And that doesn't always feel fun. But I feel that what you two have built on the system and the setting and the lore, it all plays in really neatly together. And it feels fair, especially for a horror game.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I think that's definitely true. Like, I was talking with somebody the other day who had just played one of our games, and they're a big Call of Cthulhu fan, and mm-hmm. they're talking, sort of comparing it with Call of Cthulhu, where you are very squishy and similar to Call of Cthulhu, but in terms of squishiness, but still not quite as squishy as Call of Cthulhu, but there's just mm-hmm. enough stakes there too. Yeah.
Yeah. So our main focus today is going to be two new supplements for the Backwoods universe, and that is Backwoods and Back Channels.
Mm-hmm.
Totally new settings, new character options, some new hooks. But what exactly are these books in this line?
Yeah, so that's actually something that's really important here, because these are two standalone books, I want to emphasize. So if you're ever interested in picking these up, you can just pick up one of them. You could just pick up Back Channels if you wanted. You don't need anything else. Or you could just pick up Backwoods. As standalone books, they contain all of the rules that you would need for character creation and all that. And then they also have their own unique setting. And I'll also mention that Backwoods, Back Channels, Backwater, Back Roads, all of our games, they have unique character archetypes and things too. But they are really setting focused. As we said, the first one started off in New Orleans, and the second one moved over to St. Louis. Back Channels and Backwoods takes us to two new regions of our post-apocalyptic U.S., the American lands. Mm-hmm. One of them is Backwoods, and that's in a post-apocalyptic New England primarily. And I know and we do include parts of Canada in there too. So
hell yeah.
If you want to see your own neck of the woods, Zach, you can finally do it.
Fuck yeah. I'm excited.
And I will also say, you know, we like to incorporate local folklore and cryptids and stuff like that into our games. And the last time that we talked, you
put my boy in.
Mentioned, what was that?
You put my boy in.
Yeah, we put him in. You mentioned to us hide behinds, and we looked it up, and I loved it. And I kept thinking about doing something like it for Backroads and like some of these other, or some adventures for these that I was writing in. But we did ultimately put the hide behind in there. But when we're thinking of Backwoods, you know, Backwoods, it's supposed to be New England Gothic horror. So there's lots of sort of colonial folklore types of things in there. There's witches and vampires. When you think about, you know, the panic, the vampire panics and witch panics and stuff in New England from that time period. Of course, there still deals with the devil. But there's also like featuring Puritanism and these sort of puritanical religions that come out of the woodwork in the post-apocalyptic New England. So we're pretty excited. That's one of our two new standalone books, a sense of the setting there. And then the other one is Back Channels, which the best way of describing it is a post-apocalyptic pirate game. It's set in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. And characters can either play as the sea wardens, these people who patrol the coast, or they can play as the pirates themselves. And I think there's a lot of passion out there for these pirates. And there's a game running right now, which I was following up on, and they did a session zero, and I loved how they're like sort of thinking of these Mad Max pirate ships and stuff like that. I was just loving it.
We're going to get into the pirate stuff in a second, but I do want to start with Backwoods, because I think I think the most fair way to approach these two is as separate entities. So,
yep, that's correct. Yeah.
So Backwoods is set in New England, which is one of the most traditional kind of locations for, well, American Gothic horror. Like, there's a lot set in there. What finally drew you to coming to New England? Like, what was the drive? What was the deal there?
Well, I think we've always sort of, we always thought that was either going to be our second or third sort of book after we did some Southern Gothic. You know, Alex and I started writing these games when around the time that we both moved away from the Midwest, and he moved over to New England and I moved down to the South, and I was in Southern Arkansas. And we, you know, no coincidence, we started writing our Southern Gothic one first, Backwater, and then Backwoods was following right along with it. But both of us are pretty big fans of what we might think of as American Gothic horror. With people like Shirley Jackson and, you know, of course, Stephen King, but even just some more typical American Gothic that happens in New England. You know, Sleepy Hollow is a great one, or Young Goodman Brown, even, as a different sort of tale, wandering these dark backwoods of New England and facing these temptations along the way with the figure of the devil in the background too. A lot of those tales, I think, inspired us and inspire a lot of people, especially as we get into October and we start to think of all these stories that take place in New England. But I think it was pretty big on Alex's list, just living there at the time and pulling out some of the themes that we end up talking about in this game, like these isolated communities within a expansive countryside, those sorts of things.
I also think that those isolated communities really plays into one of yours and Alex's favorite thing to do with villains, and that is monsters are monsters, but people are monsters, and much worse.
Yeah.
And you're talking about deals with the devil and these like post-apocalyptic cults. And I can already see some of the formations that you probably also had and then expanded upon.
Yeah, there's definitely some New England cults that you get to see along the way. Yeah, you're sort of talking about like, the isolated countryside. And then another big one for us is introducing, well, we are like always, the villains are almost always these sort of capitalist assholes in these games, but exploring some of the other themes around within New England, like, these old textile mills or different types of mills. And one of our adventures that we've been writing for Backwoods features, some pro-union stuff on our part too, but fighting the man, basically. Mm-hmm. So really excited to bring in some of those fun themes as well.
I'm excited about it, and more so than just being able to see the hide behind in there, because I want to deal with that. But what I'm really excited for in Backwoods is these new character options. And we're going to talk about character options separately because they work with the other ones, but they fit into their respective settings so well. So what are some of the new character options in Backwoods?
Yeah. In Backwoods, each of our books will have four different character options in there. And I'll emphasize, these character options, they sort of give you starting abilities and general ideas of the abilities that your characters can have, like a general track or guideline for them. But one of the important things about our game is multiple people can actually play the same character archetype and end up being very different. It's a modular game, and there's tons of customization as part of our character creation part to really get people invested in their characters. The four new character archetypes are the scholar, which is, you might think typical for New England. You might even think of all the scholars and things that were in Lovecraft's works and all the Call of Cthulhu games as well. But scholars, people who get pulled into some of these investigations among the backwoods. We also have speech makers. And speech makers are those who have a lot of charisma. They're social organizers, and they're sort of often the face of the group. We also have the sentinel, and sentinels are sort of like monster hunters in the area. And you can also play them as like monster protectors if you'd like. There are options built in that sort of emphasize that too. But they often have animal companions like a scent hound that they might take with them. And then the final one is a scold, and this is our magical character in Backwoods. Each of our games has sort of one more magical archetype. But scolds are people who can infuse magic with their words. So they tend to be really persuasive. And we wanted to give the idea, like make people think, even with the name, that maybe these are characters like witches, a type of witch type character that you can play in Backwoods. But then in some of our design, we also try to emphasize they can be many different things. Like in our design, we sort of have a puritanical looking man who's reading from this cult in our game that worships the American founding fathers, the Founders cult. So we have this puritanical looking founders priest for that archetype too.
I absolutely adore the Founders cult. I think it's really funny in general, mainly because I imagine them stumbling upon Disney.
Actually, so it's not official whether or not we include this yet, but Alex and I had originally written up this was Alex in particular, the Kingdom of the Rat, and and blank out some of the, you discover this this peculiar, the ruins of a city that seems to have worshipped this mouse, etc. I don't know if we'll end up including it, but that's one of the things we explored in Back Channels even.
It's so funny. So we have a bit of an idea for Backwoods there. I would love to get into more pets and stuff, but I also do think that people love when they get to see what they can get their hands on themselves. And I know that you guys like allowing people to get themselves a weird little critter like scent hounds. So, So we'll hold off on that, but I might ask about the next one. Back channels. It's swashbuckling. It's on the water. It's in the Southeast. What's adventuring here like?
Yeah. Well, we try to keep a couple of different options open, but as you can imagine, a lot of the adventuring here is going to be in some of those back channels or along the sea islands and barrier islands up and down the southeastern coast. It could be in the Gulf itself, and there can be adventures on land too. But there's, like in many of our games, so whereas Backwoods is a lot, has a little bit more political intrigue and tends to be in the settings of these towns, there can also be some exploration too. But Back Channels has a lot more options for exploration and opens up some new options, especially for like traveling overland, or in this case, oversea. And we've always had hex crawl rules, but we're introducing some extra stuff to help people imagine traveling these post-apocalyptic back channels as well.
Can you expand on that one a little bit? Because I think a lot of people love, absolutely love the idea of pirate games and games at sea. And at the moment, we really don't have one big, huge set in stone kind of go-to for that. So how does Back Channels handle traversing the water?
Yeah, well, it's pretty similar. We have a number of navigation rules that we use for our games, and a number of different options. So these also apply for back channels. So I should mention that first. So on one, we have some normal resolutions, sort of theater of the mind, where you have a character who navigates for you. You know, there's so many days that you have to navigate. You make a navigation roll each day. There are certain consequences, etc. We have hex crawl as another way of doing it. And that's what we're going to build out a little bit extra. We did a lot of it for back roads, and we actually got some pretty great feedback on that. So we're going to build out some hex crawl options too for navigating the seas and back channels. And then the final thing that we do, which we built up in Backroads and will be in both Back Channels and Backwoods too, are like travel montages basically. And it's a more narrative style of resolving travel. So there are a couple of different options. You know, I think we wanted to do hex crawl, bring hex crawl into our games. I think Alex really was pushing for that with Backroads, and we liked how that turned out. But we always like to have a sort of a more tactical option, or at least not just tactical, even tactile option, where people can have actual maps out and use those for simulating travel.
I think that's great. You're providing options for a wider variety of people, and that's just obviously choices are good in role-playing games. I know that in Backwoods, we were talking about how it's a lot of these small towns and political intrigue and kind of stuff like that that characters are dealing with. What are kind of the major antagonists outside of the elements, obviously, that players can expect to see in Back Channel?
Yeah, Back Channels, there's going to be some similar stuff. So again, plenty of capitalists and things like that. There are competing merchant forces throughout the back channels, which might hire characters, and at other times that you may be sabotaging. And then there's also other forms of authority, I think, that often tend to be the antagonists. There's a lot of imposition from New England, from the setting of Backwoods, actually, from some of these political figures that appear there. In back channels and sort of trying to make their way in. So those are some of the forces that that you can run into there. And then, of course, there are some classic monsters that we've built into it too that give you that sort of nautical romance ideas, like skeleton pirates, for example.
I love that. Obviously, new character choices here too for your swashbucklers or pirates. Mm-hmm. Let's hear about them, because they have a whole lot of personality to them.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a kick out of designing these too. So I think sort of the character that might excite a lot of people is going to be the swashbuckler, first and foremost. And the swashbuckler is sort of a new sort of combat-like class. So we sort of have one of those in each of our games. Usually takes a different style or flavor of combat, though. And for the swashbuckler, it's a more charismatic combat. It's people who are nimble on their feet, but really plays up their bravado, which is actually one of the abilities, where basically when they complete certain tasks, they're able to do them in a very showy way. So if you're somebody who likes to show off the skills of your character, the swashbuckler could be a good one for you. And they're sort of more of your typical pirate character.
Yeah.
And then we also have the spy archetype, which is something that we love, trying to emphasize how there's a lot of this competition between merchants in the area, but also sort of these imposing political forces. And there are spies who are very stealthy, and also very good at some social mechanics too. And their job is to infiltrate and maybe steal some of this information, or maybe it's to go undercover on some of these merchant ships. So the spy is a pretty fun character that we really haven't seen much of. It's, I guess, closest maybe to the savant in Backwater, which is this really skill-oriented character.
Mm-hmm.
We have smugglers, too. And smugglers, again, fitting with that pirate theme, also stealthy, but smugglers are very good at vehicles and very good at hiding things on their person, and thievery, and those sorts of things too. That vehicle element is something that's especially unique about the smuggler in terms of how they can interact with like carts and wagons or even on boats, and being able to not just drive these things, but conceal items that they might be carrying with them in these vehicles. And then the final one is, again, we have a magical character for each of our games, and that would be the Storm Brewer. And Storm Brewer brings in magic, but magic that can control the elements. And the idea is that a lot of these Storm Brewers are, that they are people who might join ships and crews and help these crews navigate. Like if there isn't a wind, they can generate a little bit of wind for their sail. They can navigate. They are good at predicting the weather and things like that for travel as well. And those are the four main archetypes for back channels.
I think you're going to see a lot of love for those ones specifically. Just the backwoods ones are incredible for that setting, but at least to me, in this more nautical themed thing, like playing a smuggler who just really knows their boat is something that already sticks out, or the manipulation of weather to assist in travel. It's just, there's something about the back channel classes that really pop for character options.
Yeah. And we'd love, of course, this regional setting, one of the reasons we picked the sort of nautical romance scene is just because of how much piracy there was historically in the region too. But even with the Storm Brewer as a character archetype, you know, especially when you live in Florida, but in this region, the wild shifts in weather and the summer storms and, weather is just part of living down in the Southeast, and we really want to bring in a character that can interact with that weather in a different way.
I mean, we hear about it every year, so that I think that's a really smart way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's always been really important to both you and Alex when we're talking about the content that you're putting out is making sure that the voices of people from the areas that you're showing off have a chance to make that voice heard a little bit more. And a couple of the names I recognize. Hey, Basil, if you're listening to this, what was it like working with these creators from both the areas that Backwoods takes place and Back Channels?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, honestly. So many of them have so many good ideas, too. So, you know, Back Channels, and in this case, we're working with both artists and authors. And for Back Channels, Basil Wright is one of the people who's writing for our games, and they are just awesome. Like, one, they wrote so much so quickly, which I hope in part is just because, you know, there's great interest in the setting. But, you know, you get to see this lived experience and these ideas of the South come out, which I think is balanced, you know, balanced and fair approaches, basically, you know, not in deficit minded in any way, but more, even though this is fiction, more real, in some ways, too. And just really picks up and displays some of the culture and stuff in ways that Alex and I, probably couldn't do justice. And then we had Candace McAfee too, and they're awesome as well. A lot of people know Candace as the Magnificent Candace. And Alex and I, when we first started working with Candace on this, we met up with them on over a video chat. And Candace was just so full of all these ideas, and like really small things that can that even can show up in some of these adventures in the setting, that if you have this lived experience in Florida, primarily for the part that they're writing on, I think you can get an extra appreciation from there. But I think overall, the main thing that we really appreciate for working with a lot of these contributors is just how many great ideas they have immediately. And how that comes out, not just in the writing, but in the art too. So my favorite example, we work with Aaron Radney on a lot of things, and he creates fantasy worlds. He writes and things too, which he'll share in his Patreon. But a lot of people know his art, and he does art. He's done art for us, and he's done maps as well. And he's from St. Louis, and we are working on this map of St. Louis. And he had like these three awesome ideas, but one of my favorite things, which actually shifted the way that Alex and I even wrote about St. Louis, was he wanted to really talk about or play up the awful construction, which this is a seasonal thing in much of the Midwest, but in St. Louis, it just becomes this labyrinth of road construction. You know, think pothole season in particular, and how awful the infrastructure can be. And Aaron actually came up with this idea for the sort of labyrinthine part of the ruins of St. Louis that we ended up incorporating into our game, and shows up in his maps and stuff too. So just the awesome ideas from people with lived experience that I think really capture something that Alex and I couldn't capture ourselves, as much research as we would do for it even.
I think part of what makes that so possible, though, is the clarity and the ease at which you and Alex have given people to imagine this world. Because a lot of the people who are playing this game have similar thoughts that you two do about, well, I mean, like, let's be honest, you're not going to play a game where capitalism's the bad guy if you're throwing some of the 1% everything you got. So you've created this thing that people can relate to. But then, like, I know that I've thought about it. I thought about doing a separate audio podcast because, like, an audio drama, because Backwoods, or, The Backwards Games have such a vivid and almost believable style to them. So I think that you've really given creators something incredible to work with. And a lot of people are willing to jump at the chance to create something that fits that world.
Yeah, I always love seeing sort of what people do with it when they run their APs and what types of games they're playing. And we have a Discord, which has been a little quieter recently, but at some times it's pretty active. But one of our more active channels is a GM-only channel. I just love hearing some of the stories that that people end up writing within the universe and the new directions that they take it. Like Alex and I note this, especially when we're talking about what the apocalypse actually looked like. But one of the things that we try to do is we try to leave things vague enough for game masters to really build out their own idea of what the nation or what these cities and settings look like.
It's creating an apocalypse in your backyard is the way that I've looked at it.
I love that.
Yeah. It's looking outside of your window and being like, what would this look like in the game? And I think that is what makes it so A, approachable, but B, so much fun. Especially if you're like with a home table where all of you are like, oh yeah, you know, the four blocks of incredibly shoddy building. Like I've been fighting with my city about a sinkhole for the past year. The sinkhole would definitely come up if I was making a backwards game in my city.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the cool things though. So like, because of that sort of really cool stuff, it's amazing what sort of connections can happen. But we did an actual play podcast at one point in time. It was for Backroads, one of our St. Louis adventures. And I had written up this adventure, which involved Momo, the Missouri monster. But really, yes. The characters were adventuring through the conservatory in St. Louis. Okay. And now I'm blanking on the name of it, but people know what I'm talking about, the conservatory in St. Louis. And when I was doing the adventure, I was like trying to base it off of the conservatory as much as I could without getting too bogged down in specifics for like an hour and a half long actual play. But at one point in time, I actually had somebody reach out to me, who they and their partner had lived in St. Louis at one point in time. And they're like, oh my gosh, I know that conservatory and I know exactly what you're talking about in this particular scene. And I think that stuff is really cool when it's your own backyard. And then like you said, when you're at a table with people that you know, and especially if you're all in a similar physical location or from a similar physical area, there's so much cool stuff, like so many cool touchstones that you can bring into your.
I can only imagine what Niagara Falls would look like in the world of Backwards. Like,
oh, well, that's going to be in Backwards. So, and that's another great piece that Alex has written in there too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's weird. I'm going to be able to play in my own hometown in canon.
Yeah. We should have had you write that part. But our bad.
I am not nearly talented enough. I am working on it, but not yet.
Yeah, but that's so much of what we love. And one of the things that's new about these books that we're trying to build into it, they'll be in our quick starts and things too, is structuring a session zero. We call it a foreword in our game, but it would be in this session zero, we're trying to come up with some ways to facilitate people building out this backwards universe, either within the specific region that they're in or general Americana that they want to bring out. So we try to bring in some of those guidelines into a session zero.
Yeah, that's always great too. I love when there's session zero stuff just to help new game masters or somebody has picked up the game for the first time and can't find an actual play or something to kind of get a grip with what they're looking at.
Yeah. and a great way to just set up the game in general and give players some ownership of the setting and even get used to each other's characters and all that too. So we're hoping that some of the stuff that they'll get out of it, and that the universe building is just another bonus on the side.
Mm-hmm. Asa, you and Alex have been doing this for a little bit of time now, almost officially, I should say, out with the first Backwater Kickstarter was it 3 years ago, or is it a little bit longer than that now? Almost four.
I think it was 3 years ago. But this is why it's good to have Alex here, because Alex will remember the dates and stuff better. Because he and I actually we're in a different interview. We couldn't remember exactly when Backwater was or when we started writing it. But I'm pretty sure that one was 2020, and then 2022.
That one I know.
Backroads, I think. Oh my gosh.
I know because you were on the podcast.
Yeah. So that's definitely the case. But yeah, we've been doing it for at least 3 years, and we started writing Backwater obviously before that Kickstarter ran too.
Yeah.
That's all just because, we split up in our parts of the world, and Alex and I think it was really an excuse for us to continue to another way to continue to hang out together.
Uh-huh. Backwater was on in February of 2021. I just checked it out real quick.
Oh, there we go. So we might have started writing in 2020 then.
Yeah. But you've both been at this for quite a bit of time. You've garnered some love for the game, and there's people who love I love Backwater. I love all the Backwards games a lot. And I was super bummed because I found the Backwater Kickstarter, I think it was 2 hours after it closed, because I was looking for new people to get on the podcast. But how have things changed since you sat down with Backwater to now with Back Channels and Backwoods?
Yeah, I think things have changed dramatically. I think most of all,
the world's open again. So that's one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. For real. Talk about a major change there too. Well, and the pandemic is something that definitely shows up in our game in many different ways. And some of the themes we explored in Backwater, but also in some of the descriptions we give of a possible way that the world ended too. Mm-hmm. But yes, so much has changed since then. I would say, especially about our knowledge and of running Kickstarters, but also creating these games and writing these games. And although I actually still look back at Backwater and I'm surprised that it turned out as good as it did in many ways. Like, layout is something that we've been improving on over the years, but when I look back at Backwater, I'm like, this doesn't look too sloppy. And I'm pretty impressed with that. But a lot of that stuff we've been able to, as we've increased the amount that we're looking for in funding and increased some of the some of our resources and connections, we've learned a lot about it over the years and have been able to pull together sort of a more advanced Kickstarter than we have previously. And this time around, a lot of times we do just the books. We try to keep it really simple. And this time around, though, we're bringing a few other things too, including some bookmarks, some miniatures, and then I think we'll be doing dice too. I know we're only 2 weeks away, but we are still finalizing that detail. So currently, it looks like that will still happen, but there's a chance where dice do not make it into our campaign. So I think we've learned a lot about managing these Kickstarters, promoting them, and more than anything else, learned a lot of the basics that we were just picking up on in Backwater.
Yeah, so what do you think it is about the Backwards games that keep people coming back?
Yeah, I think it really depends. Yeah, it's a really tough question. I'm thinking about things that people have said to us either in our Discord or elsewhere. And I think there are sort of two groups of people in their dedication for the game. There are the people where the setting, every single time, imagining new parts of this post-apocalyptic America, really keeps them coming back. And then I think there's often folks who it's really about the system. And a couple of times we've heard folks say to us, you know, that the system has exactly what they're looking for in terms of customizing characters, and but also keeping it dangerous for their characters, and or some sort of options, simplified options for resource management, similar in terms of like the Alien TTRPG in terms of item slots and storage, or maybe I'm thinking of Worlds Beyond Number. But
no, that's right.
Yeah, we have folks who, so we on sort of both of those sides where some folks always come back for that, for the setting. And I think then we have some other ones who are more system oriented. But for me, both of them are super important. And the way that Alex and I originally designed the system and over time have made some updates to it and refined it, is it's really built around getting folks, as I said earlier, oriented within that setting, but at the same time getting them really invested in their characters within the setting too. Yeah. So I think both of those things sort of work together, although oftentimes we hear, you know, people are really excited about the setting, and other folks, this is a system I was looking for.
I love that answer because I agree. I don't know. I think that the backwards universe is so much fun, and it doesn't feel quite as oppressive as other versions of the apocalypse. It's like scary. It's terrifying, but it doesn't feel like it's breathing down your neck all the time. Sometimes it feels like it's really breathing down your back, but often it doesn't feel like it's breathing down your neck.
Yeah, I appreciate that description because I think that is sort of what we're going for. Because, you know, it is dark in some ways, as you're saying, and sort of depressing. You know, it's very backwards. It's a backwards universe, but at the same time, there's a light aspect to the game. And I think the game sort of comes out of Alex and me being really sad with the world, and our way of dealing with it is like, well, let's make fun of the world. And in some ways, it's like, how can this get even worse? And in other ways, it's just sort of, it's even imagining new possibilities. I think that was a really apt description and something that we're hoping that people capture, because even though it's this dark and depressing world, we really want people to have fun with it and to do something bizarre. Like in one of our recent games, you know, somebody was in the, was part of the Order of Dr. Pepper, this sort of a traveling healer going from town to town, trying to master the 23 flavors of elixirs, which we love. But again, just having fun with that post-apocalyptic setting, no matter how dark and bleak the future might look.
It like satirizes real life sometimes, and I think that's the perfect way to go.
Yeah.
Asa, we're running up on almost 50 minutes of recording now, so I have two more questions for you, and I'm not going to ask you to give me more advice on how to make your games better or anything like that, but I do have one question that's about you that I think is super important, and I think I've been missing it out in previous ones, but what aspect of creation for tabletop role-playing games, and specifically backwards universe games, or design, or the community keeps you here? What do you get out of doing this?
Yeah, that's a really great question too. And so I'll try to speak for both me and Alex in this and saying that I think for both of us, it's a lot of the connections that we've made either through playing these games with people or communicating with people who have played these games or collaborating with people, especially who is one of the big things that we've learned more about as time goes on and in terms of keeping these games going and building communities. And we've met a ton of awesome collaborators on all the projects that we've worked on. And we always learn a ton from them, but also we try to just work with great people. And I think we really appreciate the people that we get to work with. And it's been cool to get to know you too. Over this time. So I think that those are some of the things that keep us coming back. And then I think Alex and I are both creatives at heart, and we love creating things together because we like to get a conversation going where we're just imagining these bizarre things. And once we get started, sometimes we can't get stopped. We can't stop ourselves. So every time we're starting a new project, the both of us come up with so many ideas that we just, that we just enjoy doing it too much.
I love it. No, it's great. I think that is so quintessential, especially in the tabletop role-playing game space. Connections make or break a game. And you two have designed, as a team, might I add, too, now four books. Each one acts on its own as like a standalone game, which is absolutely bonkers. So kudos to you two. I think it's wild. Yeah, you guys are doing incredible. And I hope backwards games keep coming out. I hope more people play them. And I hope that you guys have a really good time designing them.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it. And we hope they keep coming out too. I know at the very least, Alex and I have an idea for at least one more project on the line. So, but that all depends on if this can get funded. So if you have a few spare dollars you want to throw our way, maybe grab a PDF at the very least, we'd be grateful. But we also know it's the Halloween season and there will be many great games out there too. So hopefully there's room enough for us on your shelves. But
always for me. Asa, speaking of picking up stuff, where can people find out more about you, Backwoods, Back Channels, any of your other stuff? And I'll also make sure to drop Alex's stuff down below.
Yeah. So you can find me at BackwardsTTRPG on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. I'm also at BackwardsTTRPG on Blue Sky. And you can find us on Itch as well as DriveThruRPG. And we're probably on a few other things here and there too, other social medias that we fled to as Twitter bailed out. And then Alex, I think his name on Twitter is at MightiestFinn, and that's FINN. And then on Blue Sky, I think it's just, I think it might be Finn the Mighty.
As always, audience, those links are going to be going down in the description below. Please go and support both Back Channel and Backwoods, because I'm excited about these games. You can see one of my favorite monsters in Backwoods that I jokingly told them about a year ago now. And you get to see this horrible monstrosity in all of its glory. I got to see some of the early art for the Hide Behind, and it's so fucking scary. It's so creepy.
I love it. I actually wrote a one-sheet adventure around it, too.
That's great.
To really build it out there. But, yeah, we love it so much.
It's a very fun monster. Yeah, that's everything for me. It's on Kickstarter right now, so please go and support it. I've worked out when this episode's coming out, and it is live right now. So top link in the description. Go and support Backwoods, Back Channel, When does that end, though, Asa?
It's going to be ending on October 27th.
That ends October 27th. So make sure that you go and support them while you still have the chance. Asa, thank you so much for reaching out, getting back in contact with me, and joining me once again on Schedule for Launch.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Zach.
No problem. And audience, thank you so much for listening. Asa, Alex, Backwoods and Backchannel are all scheduled to launch real soon. They are currently sitting on Kickstarter. Go and support them. Till next time, though, take care of yourselves, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye. Thank you so much to Asa for joining me on the podcast this week. Asa and Alex are two of the people I am just so happy to have gotten the chance to talk to, and originally joining me on the show over a year ago now. It's always an absolute pleasure to have them on. Alex unfortunately couldn't join us, but know that he does a lot of really cool stuff on the internet, and he's on a lot of actual plays, so check out his socials for more information on his appearances. The Backwards Regional American Gothic Horror Kickstarter ends on October 28th, and so it's almost funded now already. So if you have not already, you have 17 days and then it ends, and you'll miss out. It's a really cool thing. You should go and support them. Thank you, audience, for joining me. If you enjoy what you've heard, please share with a friend or somewhere on the internet, because that's how I grow around here. You can also join me this week on Wednesday, October 11th, 2023, on Tales from the Table Studios, Twitch at 8 p.m. for the premiere episode of One Night at Ollie's, with the Five Nights at Freddy's film coming out soon. We're hoping you're going to enjoy that, and this will be a good place for you to kind of get into that Halloween season. I'll also be live on Thursday for more Behind These Eyes, Baldur's Gate 3 playthrough, and thank you to those who have joined me for that. It's been a lot of fun to have you there. That's everything from me, though. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you somewhere out there.